Right, the reading is Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 36. But I tell you, you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who ill-treat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. God bless our reading to all of us.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for having me. It's a real honour, actually, to be here. After being in this church for a long time as I was growing up, it feels really strange to be standing here and being able to do what John and, you know, everyone else has done here, speaking to you tonight. But I feel really like it was a really good time that John came and asked me to come and speak. And I hope you enjoy what I've got to say tonight. So, first of all, those of you who know me quite well, Johnny Brunton, the youngest of the five sons, the best, of course, saved till last. And my last 15 years, I have spent most of my life working at Gardner and Scarterfield. And that's why, in one way, John's asked me to come and speak tonight, to speak about my faith and my life in working in the garden centre. So I'll get into that in a minute, but first of all, because for those of you who don't know me that well, just to let you know, obviously I've come from a large family, but now I have my own little family. So on the next slide, you can meet my little fellow. Oh, sorry, because I'm on my stick, have I? Sorry, I could do it myself. I was thinking Dave would do it for me, but I know what I'm doing. There we go, beautiful. Oh, yeah, so Reggie, little Brunton there on the left, he's our recent recruit, and he 8 months old, coming up to in a week's time, and Orla, three and a half, we call her Free Nanger, because she's a little pickle at the moment. And then the wife there, she's quite old as well, I won't go into her age, but it's a nice picture of us at Christmas, and my dog is in the corner there, hiding, unfortunately. She gets left out these days, unfortunately. But, you know, she's part of the family as well. So, yeah, it's a real honour that I come from a big family, but I really am proud that I have my own little family as well. And for those of you, again, who don't know me, I was baptised here many years ago, and it was really amazing. And I always remember the first day I became a Christian, and lots of you will know Doris Russell. And when I walked through the door, I remember when I first became a Christian, her coming up to me and giving me a massive kiss and cuddle. And, she was a real special person. And, you know, even though I've moved on different churches myself, one thing that I've always kept in touch with is John Woods, and I'm always grateful to him, not just for his work with me coming into my shop and take giving me money. Also, his timings coming to see me in my life have been quite good as well. And I won't go too much into detail because I want to go into other things. But when my little daughter Orla was born, a lot of you may know she had a bit of a problem with her head. She had a ping pong fracture on her head, so she had this big, lots of babies get flat heads, but Orla had like a big bump in her head. And I always remember a few weeks after Orla had been born, me being concerned, they said to me in the hospital, let's get some water, I didn't say that, they said, if you, your daughter might have brain damage or something like that. And I remember sort of worrying and thinking, no, this is my family, this is my little girl, this can't happen to me. And John came along, and rather than just buying anything, he just came and had a prayer with me. And that was sort of 4 years ago now, nearly. And, you know, he's been a really good friend as well. What I want to talk to you about mainly is my career and working in Gardens, Scotfield Garden Centre, as well as being a Christian. Because for those of you been in the workplace, can anyone put their hand up if they've been in a workplace before? Yeah? Good. Lots of us. You know that going to work, being in a shop, being in retail, being in customer service, being working with different types of people, it's quite hard to sort of, you know, share your faith sometimes with different things that go on in other people's lives and you having to deal with different people. But I've been working at Gardens Scarterfield since I was 15, and as a Saturday boy. And my sort of aim when I left school, I didn't get any GCSEs very well. I didn't do very well with, I just couldn't read and write very well, and everything I struggled with. But when I left to go to work, God really helped me through my old manager called Derek, and he used to really take me aside and teach me how to do basic things. And I really feel God sort of blessed me from there. And as a boy going into a shop where I couldn't even write down a person's name and, you know, address for where their delivery's going, to 15 years later being a manager and telling other people how to do things, it's a real answer to what God's done. And I just think that God has really been with me every step. So I was, as a Saturday boy, as soon as I finished school, I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. And Mum and Dad prayed about it, thought, please give him something. And thankfully, Gardens Scarterfield took me on. And they gave me a part-time job and then a full-time job. And then about 10 years ago, I became an assistant manager. And then 6 years ago, coming up this year, I've been manager of the garden centre. And for those of you who've done management and stuff like that, you probably have, you know, more experience than me. But for me, management at first was a real sort of like lift. It was a sort of like, wow, this is fantastic. I love, you know, telling people what to do. I love going to do this. And yeah, Michael, you go and do that. And, you know, no, all different things. But it's not always quite as easy. After next years sort of start to pass by, you start to really realise all the responsibilities you've got. And even being a really good role model and things like that, which, you know, at first, I think, to be honest with you, I was a bit of a kid, and I was just sort of like, this is the life, you know, I'm the boss and wearing a suit looking good, you know, here I am. But actually, the reality kicked in, and then I realised these people are looking up to what I'm doing. And thankfully, I've had lots of good people helping me in Gardens Scarterfield. So although, as I said, my career and school, I did struggle with my workplace, I've had people around to help me, and I've done lots of different courses. Most recently, I've done a diploma in management, and last year, I went to Oxford Summer School, which was pretty good. This is me at an awards night, so my company got an awards night, and if any of you watch BBC News at 10 o'clock, the man on the left-hand side there, Mervyn, he's always on it. So it was nice. He passed out this award at Gardens Scarterfield won. But going back to what I just said, so I went to Oxford Summer School. Got a star over on my left-hand side, your right-hand side there, where I am. And I really had the most amazing week of my life, the most intense week of my life, going to Oxford studying and learning how to manage. And that time I sort of had to, first thing in the morning, the idea is you get up at 7 o'clock and you go and have breakfast with you get going to groups, you all have a team, and you have breakfast with them for 45 minutes, and then you've got to go and get ready for a lecture, and then you've got to go and get ready to do different activities. Sometimes you manage it, sometimes you other people in your team would manage it, and you'd have to do all sorts of things. And I just opted to manage like a sports thing, which I thought sounded pretty good, but it was so hard in the end. But no, it was amazing. And it went on until 11 o'clock at night, 7 in the morning till 11 o'clock at night, intense work and talking about different things. And it just made me think, wow, this is hard work. This is what it is. But also it made me think, with God, he's 24/7. So, you know, it's even harder for him. But yeah, so there's us listening to a lady called Laura Brown, and she is a director of the big store in London, which I've just forgotten, one of the biggest stores in London. And she basically was doing a seminar just explaining to us how Harrods, she was director of Harrods, and she was explaining to us how to manage it from her way. She came from a poor family. She had no sort of education herself, but she just worked up different things and worked it up in the world. And the best thing she said is you've got to be yourself, you know, in management. You've got to be who you are, and people will respect that. Come back to that one in a minute. Yeah, so I've, as a sales assistant, I have sort of done these sort of things, which, you know, God's really, really helped me with. And you know, it's really been amazing that although it's obviously perseverance and determination from myself to do it, there's no way I could have done it without God. Because being a manager, you have to deal with so much stuff. I mean, you have to sort of, you know, there's so many ups and downs in business, as many people know. And when you're up, you just think, oh yeah, this is all good. This is, you know, I'm doing a good job. And then suddenly when you're down, everyone's like, cool, he's not doing very well. You know, they've only taken £100 down the garden centre today. What are they doing? And it's amazing. But when I think of all the time I've been there, I think that the most important thing that I've learned more and more recently is when it's up, you ask God to help you. And when it's down, you ask God to help you. Maybe beg on your knees then. But no, it's so important to be asking God in both situations to sort of help you in the good and the bad. Most of my time I sort of spend speaking to God is because I live in Findon, as many of you might know now. I spend it commuting to work in the morning for about half an hour. I just sit there praying. I can't close my eyes most of the time because I'm just sitting in traffic. You know, it's like in England, queuing and queuing and queuing. But yeah, you know, I feel like that it's good for us all to have a devotional time, and I'm sure you all do in different ways. But it's really important, isn't it, for us to have that time. And to be honest with you, when I do have that time, I do find that most of the days are a little bit more up than down. But obviously, it's good just to have that time wherever you are. I'm very lucky with a garden centre and stuff like that I'm in. It's all very changeable. So all the seasons are sort of like, it sort of lifts you because you're sort of now spring coming and you're like, yay, bulbs and everything's coming up and yeah, everything's looking good and people are coming in. People are excited to come and grow things and people getting infused. And then summer comes and then people want barbecues and everything. And then you get to Christmas and it goes a little bit down. And then you get to winter and it's really cold and it's really tough. But, you know, having God with us all the seasons is the most important thing. And, you know, it's a real pleasure to do that. And so other things that I was thinking when John said to me about speaking tonight is sort of thinking about the people that I come into contact with, because I come into contact with probably the similar sort of people that you do, but I don't know sort of your responsibilities, how you deal with it. And we all need to learn from each other, maybe in a way how we look after people. But you know, as I think about the love for the enemies, as Eve read for us, I think about, you know, the people that come into my shop. I get lots of angry people coming to my shop just because they want a hose fitting for their garden hose and it's not working. And they get really angry about it. and you have to calm people down, or they want a delivery and they say to you, why has my delivery not come? I ordered it yesterday. Why is it not with me now? As people don't have much patience, do they? And not only that, you get people who come in who are quite sad. You get people come in who are quite ill. You also get people in who are a bit sly and liars, and people who are not very nice. And it's amazing that I take it, each person I do who walk in my shop, I do have a care about what's going on. I look to see what's going on. I watch my staff to see how they're acting. I want every single person who comes in my shop to be loved and respected and given a chance to be helped. And I think that's the main thing that I've learned more and more, is just to understand each person and, to give them a chance. And obviously if someone's being angry with you, obviously, it's obvious, but what do we do? Maybe we'd be angry with them because that's frustrating us that they've been angry. No, we tone it down. We sort of think, no, actually, we can help you sort this out. And, it's amazing that God has really given me, I don't know if it's in my voice, but when I speak to people, I seem to be able to calm situations down. I'm not trying to praise myself up too much, because I'm sure tomorrow I'll be having a situation that I can't deal with. But I think God in the past has sort of shown me, here you go, with this challenge, come here and I'll help you sort it out. And it's obviously with God, with helping us in different things that we come into, that's amazing. Also, I was chatting to John quite a few times, because a couple of years ago I had 5 burglaries at the shop, and I really struggled mentally with that, as well as personally I was sort of having a bit of stress and anxiety problems myself. And then to see my shop get burgled, even though it's obviously not like my home and stuff like that, it was still my base where I go, and people walking into my area that they shouldn't be. And I think that's why this subject is quite good, because straight away, as soon as something bad happens, the reaction is to sort of think, like everyone else does, how dare they do that? Scumbags, how dare they, should not do that, that sort of attitude, which isn't the right thing to be thinking. But you have an annoyance about it. And so one story to tell you about was about 2 years ago in November, when I just had all my Christmas trees delivered. And sorry to those of you who I've talked to you about it before, but we had 150 Christmas trees into our shop, and we leave it in the car park. And about 3 days after we had them delivered, we had them burgled. So someone came into the shop and into the gates and took about 90 Christmas trees away. But the thing that made it difficult was that people had put these trees put aside for maybe their child had come in and picked one. Maybe the mum and dad had sort of they had their first Christmas that they really found a special one to put something aside for this person. All these different things happened. And to be honest with you, with my stress and anxiety, I was just absolutely fuming. But as I look back now, I see sort of what God really did in the situation, because 3 or 4 days later, we received every single Christmas tree back, because the police managed to find the person who was doing it. And not only that, the guy went to prison and stuff like that. And on top of that, my shop got more security. So all the fences went up, everything got safe. And sometimes, God sort of does things for reasons. And at the end of a look at it now, I learned from experiences how to deal with that. And yeah. I sort of said it a minute ago, but yeah, I do actually deal, surprisingly, with a lot of people who sort of are ill. So sometimes I feel like this. I feel like I'm a doctor, whether it's with the staff ringing up, say they can't come in, they're sick, or maybe it's a customer who are coming in, and I think to myself, they're like sounds very rude and here, ageist, but a really old person coming in to buy 10 bags of compost, and then they're going to go and pot it up, and I think, God, how are you going to be able to do that? I mean, you want to be careful. You want to look after yourself, buy the smaller bag and stuff like that, you know. But and then people come in and they tell you about their doctor's appointment that they've got coming up in the week. They tell you about what situations are going to be happening in their family. They tell you all different things. And I think, this is good. This is good. But I do feel like a bit like a doctor, sort of listening to people. And you know, and as a manager, I suppose that's what you are there. And that's one of the most important things that I've learned. Obviously, is listening is key. And when you do that, obviously, your actions upon it next, you know, then it really helps you. So I really feel like the last 15 years, my faith has grown. And, you know, I've really seen God sort of do so much through me, just being in one place. I look at my dad and sort of see what Living Hope Ministries is. It's a really good missionary. It's fantastic how my dad reaches out to loads of people around the world. I sort of think maybe one day I'd like to be like that. Maybe I want to be that person who's, you know, helping Living Hope push forward and, you know, go to the next steps and stuff like that, or be like dad preaching and teaching people. But then I just been praying about it for the last 3 or 4 years when I think, should I be in Garner or Scarterfield? And actually, the more and more stressful and hard it becomes, I've actually realized that I'm really been helping lots of different people. And actually, the place that I'm in right now, I'm in my sort of element that God wants me to be. I'm sort of touching the people that God wants me to be. And also, if you need any compost or anything, then give me a shout afterwards. I'll let you do your good deal. No, but one other story one of my colleagues has told me I can let you know about is a guy called Jack who worked with me about 2 years ago now. And Jack, when he came into my shop, he had just left university because he wasn't sure what to do with his life. And I didn't realise at the time when I took him on, but he was really struggling with depression, and he was heavily on tablets and having different problems just with general with sleep and stuff like that. He had so many issues going on that I didn't know about, but we spoke about it, and I didn't really realise, this is where God sometimes works in us when we don't see it. I didn't realise that just after talking to him and encouraging him for about 9 months, afterwards he said, I'm really sorry, but I decided to go back to university. And I thought, oh, for goodness sake. But his mum came up to me and said, thank you so much for what you know, for spending that time with him and helping him to rebuild belief back inside himself. Because beforehand he was just going down a black track and nothing was going to happen. And now he's sort of seen a new door and he's opened it. And he's moved to Holland, which is a bit odd. But, you know, he's doing landscaping and he's following now his dream where he wanted to go in the first place. But he came and took a path with me first. I say with me, but with Garden and Scarterfield. And then he'd gone on from there. So people do see what things we do individually. And obviously actions sometimes speak louder than words, as they say. And that's how I feel as a manager. I want to try and develop myself to be given the right actions, to be really, hopefully, not swearing, hopefully not getting really stressed out when in front of people and being angry like everyone else wants to be. But actually, I think God's saying to me, we be calm and sort of help people get through what they want to, you know, the problems they're going through. And don't get me wrong, I say I have my own problems as well. So I do talk to people as well. That's where, I say, going on a management course and stuff like that really helps, because actually the whole time when I was on my course, everything was all about me for a whole week. Everything they said, this isn't about anybody but you to this week. And I was like, well, okay. And then make sure you go and look after, you know, your people afterwards. But this week, all you've got to think about is you. And sometimes I think as Christians we need to do that as well. We'd sort of give, but actually sometimes we need to receive as well for ourselves, and we need to ask God to help us. As I say, I don't think I'm a perfect person at all, but you know, that is the way that I try and sort of be caring and have more time for people where sometimes other people won't give them time. And thank goodness God sort of gives us time when we're sort of rambling on that hymn about different things. I really find it's interesting as well that the sort of questions that non-Christians give me in the workplace is probably a lot more harder to deal with and a lot more common because I'm in that workplace. You know, I've got an atheist who works with me, and then I've got an old gentleman who used to be in the Church of England, and there's so many different types of people that come in, customers and stuff like that. When they get to know me and they know I'm a Christian and things like that, I find it amazing that a lot of people will just stop and not like swear or not sort of blaspheme, or if they do, oh, sorry, John, you're the manager. I forgot you believe in God and stuff like that, don't you? Oh, yeah, I didn't mean to do that. Sorry. And I'm like, I never tell people not to do that sort of thing, but they know what I believe, and, you know, they respect that. And I will go on to a little bit more in a minute, but I think the most important thing that I want to share as well is that we have to have time to pray, don't we? Like I was saying before, my time's in the car, but I don't know about for you when you have your time out with God to pray. And I'm sure a lot of you pray me more than me, but it's really good and really important to try and do that every single day, in my view, and as much of the time as you can make. I'm going to go on a little bit in a minute, but I'm going to get Ian to come up now from Sompton Community Church. And thank you for joining me tonight, Ian. And you're just going to talk a little bit about forgiveness and stuff like that, which I'm going to carry on afterwards.
Thank you. Good evening. When Johnny asked me to share a story of forgiveness and loving enemies, I didn't really have to dig too far into my past to do that. I've only really been a Christian now for 3 years, and my story started 6 years ago. Have you ever had a dream job? That job that you look forward and think, one day I'm going to have that job. That is my calling. That's where I'm going to be. Well, I had my dream job. It was everything I wanted and more. And then something happened. An event happened in my life and my family's life that resulted in me having a breakdown. And it wasn't just, I feel a little bit sad. It was, I could quite easily end this now and turn my back on my children and my family. I essentially died inside. I still had my job, but I couldn't work. And in the place where I worked, on the board of governors, was a pastor of a local church. And he was the man that drew the short straw that had to tell me that my services were no longer required. I couldn't work. They can't pay me forever. I took it really badly, and it didn't really help my situation at all. I felt completely alone and rejected. And I've thought about suicide a lot as a way of ending the pain. At this point, I wasn't a Christian. And I had to sit there and listen to this guy say, look, I'm really sorry, but we can no longer keep you on. And I knew he was a pastor. And I thought, where's your compassion? How dare you take this away from me? Where's your compassion? And I decided that day that I was going to hate this man more than I'd probably hated anyone in my life. And being the good atheist that I was, I stuck to that. And for 3 years, I hated that man. And what made it worse was My wife had recently become a Christian and started attending the church. And I'm at home, I'm unemployed, agoraphobia, so I can't go out of the house. I can barely look at anyone in the face, let alone turn up for a job. And I started seeing this man giving hope and happiness and food and hospitality to my family in a way that I couldn't do. And I thought, I'm going to hate you just that little bit more. Actually, I'm going to hate you a lot more. How dare you come and steal my life and now steal my family? And that hatred and passion burned in me. And then, thankfully, thank the Lord, I was saved and I came to Christ. And as I'm sure you all know, that day when you come to Christ is a very special time and you think, this is it. I've found it. It's all good. Happy ever after. Hallelujah. But then God was flicking my ear. You've got some issues. And I said, no, I'm fine. Thank you very much. It's all good. My wife was attending the church where this pastor was. And I was attending a church a couple of miles away. So every Sunday she would drop me off and we would worship in separate churches. And I was quite happy with that, although I kept getting that flick. We've got issues, Ian. You need to sort these out. And I said, no, I'm fine. It's all good. And then I came home one day and my wife said, I spoke to the pastor today. And he asked how you were, and she said, I told him you'd become a Christian. And this was like an unspoken thing. He had never spoken about me to her, and she had never spoken to him about me. It was an unspoken thing, an unwritten rule, that you just didn't mention it. And this was the first time it was mentioned, and he said, I really want to meet with him. I need to discuss things with him. It's not right. And then Laura came home and she said, I spoke to a pastor today and he really wants to meet up with you. And instantly that hatred and that passion and that burning went, oh no, thank you very much. I'm quite happy where I am. But then God, rather than flicking my ear, gave me a huge kick and said, this is the moment where you confirm to me if you've learnt anything in the last month. And without even thinking, I said, okay, I'll meet him. And we set up a meeting, I think, for it was like the next day, I think, wasn't it? And I went to his house. He opened the door. And you know when you get those Holy Spirit moments where all of a sudden you just, it's not a prickle, it's not a buzz, it's not an electric surge, it's just in that very moment everything just feels right. It wasn't a jump up and down moment, it was peace. And we embraced and we cried like babies. The Spirit was there. I realized that my enemy was in fact someone I actually loved. We spoke for a couple of hours and we had so much in common. We became firm friends. He discipled me. He reunited me with my family in the same place of worship. He helped me to realize my calling. He was instrumental in my calling for going to Moorlands and to look at church leadership. Everything, all of a sudden, fell into place. And it was so easy. It wasn't anything we either of us had to think about. It was a relationship that had already been blessed. Christ was bringing us both together in a place of unity and peace. And I look back and I laugh now when I think how much I hated that man. And I could never envisage forgiving him, let alone going to his house for dinner. But the second that anger was released, we were released. And that forgiveness is exceptionally powerful. The people you hate, and let's face it, we all hate someone in our hearts. There are always people that rub us up the wrong way. Imagine forgiving those people. Imagine the relationship that may spring from that forgiveness. Always trust in the Spirit, in Christ, in God. He knows so much more than we do. The person you hate could end up being your greatest friend. Thank you.
Thanks, Ian. That's brilliant. Card, next PowerPoint, please. I'm going to leave the song. That's no better. I think in another hour I'll be done, so it'll be fine. Speaking as long as Dad. No. Thank you so much for that again, Ian. That was really good. I think, yeah, this picture I found a few weeks ago when I was thinking about the talk and that is really good, isn't it? There's so much stuff that sometimes happens in life, and people that do things wrong to us, hurt that we might have from what's happened. And it's really important what in the Luke passage, that's Jesus is writing, and he's telling us to love our enemies. And that means sometimes that we need to forgive those people who have done wrong. Because I presume if they're enemies, they probably have probably done something wrong. Or there's something in the past that has gone wrong. So I just want you to take a minute yourself. And I know myself, I've been thinking about it lots. And think if there's anyone you might need to forgive. I mean, someone might have done something wrong to you. Someone might have hurt you. Someone might have physically, mentally, sexually. You might have even known someone who's been killed. You might know someone murdered. You might know someone divorced, widowed, anything like that. There's lots of different things happen in the world. And I know that each one of us, you know, can actually suffer. But sometimes if we don't bring it to God and ask him to help us and forgive us, then we get a bit stuck, like Ian was saying, and we can't really complete until we really give it all to God. Ask him, today I'm going to give this to you. Or maybe we've done something wrong to someone as well, and we can say again, as it says in Matthew's, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So then I want you to think about that now. Just take a moment to think about it, and we'll just say a little bit afterwards. Thank you. God wants us to be the bigger person. He wants us to stand up when people do wrong to us. Because if we live in anger, then we will become bitter, and that will make things worse. But we've got a God who we can talk to right now and ask us to help in any situation, to just heal, to just help us know his presence with us, to know that God can be right there beside us and set us free. He died on the cross. He took all the pain so each one of us could be forgiven, but he also wants us to forgive. Just one more story I want to talk to you about is my mother-in-law, who is called Chris Catmull. She said I could tell you her name. She, last year, she does a group called Connect, that something run, and that's where people go for tea and coffee and stuff like that, like you do Saturday mornings, I think, and maybe other mornings. But all different people come in to the church, and the church runs it. I think, do you be part of it there, Laura? No, you're not part of it. I know, work at the chemist. Yeah, go and see Laura without the chemist. But anyway, so when people, different people come in just for a chat and stuff like that, I'm sure you have it, but you get some really good conversations and some really good people and needy people wanting to come and listen, and you know, it's just great time. But one day last year, about this time last year, my mother-in-law had her handbag and her purse and her phone all in the kitchen area, and one of the guys who came into the hub to come and have a chat and that, for 1 minute he was having a cup of tea, next minute he nicked a bag over all of my mother-in-law's possessions, including her car keys and stuff like that, and ran away. And so my mother-in-law couldn't get into her car. She was worried about her car keys, her house keys and all that sort of thing were all in there, her phone and stuff like that. And they had to phone the police and go back and try and sort things out. And the guy held on to everything for about a day. And it was amazing. Some of you who have got iPhones will know that if you have a tablet, you can go onto your tablet and you can look and find where your phone is. So my mother-in-law had her tablet and she could search this and it would highlight where her phone was. And what happened is they eventually went to the guy's house, and even though he denied having it, it turned out when they actually searched everything, they found everything, even though it was all ripped to pieces and stuff like that. But my mother-in-law was trying to do a good deed, trying to sort of help people, and then this sort of happened. And how would sometimes the world react to that is to just, you know, be really angry and maybe not go and do that group anymore. Maybe, you know, if they see that person, ignore them and stuff like that. But the guy wrote a massive letter to my mother-in-law about 2 weeks later, asking for forgiveness, and he was so sorry what had happened. And about 3 or 4 months later, after a few things happened, he came back to the hub, and he still comes now, and they still speak to each other, and my mother-in-law forgives. Different situations we might deal with, but it's so important to forgive, because my mother-in-law said that she couldn't deal with that guilt and that worry inside her. And, you know, if we've got any worry, then we want to give that worry to God, don't we? Not let it go any further. I'm just going to wind on. So I just wanted to end with something that Mother Teresa wrote, which Katie over there helped me out with. Mother Teresa wrote this: "People are often unreasonable, irritable, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives, but be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win. Some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others will destroy overnight, but create anyway. If you find serenity, can't say the word, and happiness, some may be jealous, but be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It will never be between you and them anyway. Jesus is the greatest healer. God bless you. Thank you."
Thank you. That was